titled Steps to Position Yourself for Healing. And there's really, you could take a, like a subject we were doing here tonight, really in anything in the Word of God, one must position themselves to receive whatever it is from God. And this is an important thing. If you look on, I handed out this handout on here, and you'll see there's, in a sense, there's a, like we're looking at a foundation of things, and there's things being built on the foundation. We'll be starting in the bottom of it, and then you go to the top. And what most people do, and especially, I think in the church world as a whole, people have gone to, like, say, crusade meetings and stuff and things like that. And most churches try to do healing and stuff a lot like they do in crusades. But it's very ineffective. In a church, it ain't going to work. In the church, what goes on in the crusade. Because the crusade is doing something really that's different. The crusade is, and where most of the church world is, as you see the very top there, you see, believe you receive when you pray. This is where most people try to get healing. This is where they try to start and end. And if you don't lay the rest of the foundation, that ain't going to work generally. Now, in a crusade, what they're doing is they don't have the time nor the place to really do all the teaching and stuff that needs to be done. In fact, Benny Hinn, some years ago, Benny Hinn had made the statement, and I think he had heard, like he had said, I think, the Norval Hayes at that time, and he said that he was having, he said the problem, he didn't understand what was going on. He said, we have many people who get healed in our meetings, but he said, most of them lose their healing. And he didn't know why, and Norval Hayes told him, he said, you need to teach people, he said, about healing, because when they get it, how do they keep it? Because if you don't know how you got it, you can't keep it. See, people don't realize it. Lots of times in a crusade, people get healed by the anointing, lots of time, that's on the minister and the anointing of the people's faith in the place. Lots of times not by their own faith. And so the devil attacks them later on, and they end up back in the same place that they were. And so one of the things is understanding, and especially as Christians should be taught, you know, because you want to learn how to receive healing yourself and also with other people. It's hugely important because we're just looking at this. You're going to find most of the time people pray for people too soon. They pray for people and they're not ready to even be prayed for. They're not ready. It's number one. I learned, like, say, from like before Kenneth Hagin, and I learned from him, and then I turn around, and then in ministry I started to see and understand how it works. Because many times when people come along, people want healing. And we need to understand this. You're dealing with the American culture, and it has a great effect on you, and you don't realize how you think like the American culture. The American culture wants everything right away, real fast, right now. I want to have it. This is it. And so the church operates in the same manner. We're going to quick get it for them. We're going to quick do it. We're going to quick. And we do it. And it ain't nothing but a hit and miss game. It's all it is a hit and miss game. It don't work. It doesn't work. This is what we want. That's what being American is, whether people like it or not. But it's a bad thing. It's not a good thing. And another thing we have as Americans, we like everything easy. We don't have to want to work 2 seconds if we don't have to for anything. We like to get things easily, you know. And we're always looking for the comfortable way to do it, you know, and it is. And sometimes things are not that way. There's things that just downright take time. You know, did you ever notice that, you know, we have a strange thing in America. I've never understood the American educational system because there's part of it that doesn't run anything like the culture. And in fact, it's sort of stupid. And it's one of the problems today. We're giving people, you know, a less of an education, but we want them to spend more time in school. Well, you're going to have to spend more time playing because you ain't going to have time. If you want education's work, it takes work. And if you want more time playing, why are you telling people to go to college? Why are you doing this? And so what we're doing, we're trying to make education simpler. You can't. You're not going to make education. To learn, is going to be the same like it was 200 years ago to learn as it is today. You learn how to add, how to change today. What it took to learn how to add 200 years ago is the same thing it takes to learn to add today. It doesn't change. Nobody comes out of the womb smarter than some guy 200 years ago. It doesn't change. But we think it does. See, our culture is, and we walk around, lie to ourselves and say, oh yeah, people are just smarter today. Man, let me out of this smart place. They're smarter today, oh my Lord. Go online. Go to YouTube. There's a lot of videos, all them smart people. Doing stuff. If you ever think you're stupid, you're crazy, go watch YouTube a while. You'll walk away think you're a genius. Oh, hallelujah. But anyhow, what we have to do is lay a foundation. It's one of the things I remember Kenneth Hagin had talked about praying for people too quick. He said, there's people that, he said, I would not pray for them to be healed because he said it'd be a waste of time and it would never work. Because he said they weren't at the place where they wanted to be, you were going to pray for them because they weren't moving in that direction. See, many people would like certain things, but really they're not going to do what it would take to get there. They're not going to do that. I want this, you know. There's many people say, I want healed. I found this over the years. I'd have people would come to me and say, you know, they wanted prayed for a certain thing. And I'd say, come to church. You need to sit down and listen to some teaching. Well, I don't have time. I have this or that. And I just tell them, well, you ain't got time. There's no point. Don't ask me to do something. There's no, that, I don't know else how to make it work. I don't know how else to do it. And I don't do something for, I'm not going to lie to somebody and go through a thing just so they like me. Yeah. Well, maybe if I tell them the truth, they won't ever want to come to church. Well, then they'll never come to church. It's just that simple. I mean, but I'm not going to lie to you. To try to keep you happy, because if I lie to you to get you in the church, I'm going to have to keep lying to keep you there.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Whatever you use to get people is what you're going to have to use to keep them. If you lie to get friends and you do things and play up to people to get them to be your friend, you're going to have to do that from then on to keep them as a friend. You'll have to do that. I remember a long time ago, hey, I am what I am. And this is why he's dealing with this. We deal with the areas. There's things that must be done. And this is one of the things that is people need to understand these things. And for you to be able to minister to people also, you have to know things. One of the things we're going to look at as we go on, because you have to come to a place where you have to know where people are coming from before you're going to minister to them. You have to understand that. Now, in a meeting, like a minister, lots of times there's things where gift of the Spirit will go into operation. I'll know things sometimes about a person. Which is very helpful. But lots of times when you're like one-to-one ministering on a person, you're more or less talking and asking people questions about where they're at. This is one thing a person comes up and says, you know, pray for me. I like say, you know, pray about my problems, my healing, pray for me. I just blow it out the prayer. Well, what do you believe when you say about praying for you? Pray for you what? Well, I want to heal. Yeah, I said everybody else in the world wants that too. I said everybody does. You know, everybody wants healed. Well, that just they're praying for you. This, you know, we're not flipping coin in here just to see what we're going to end up with. Mm-hmm. But most people, that's what it is. If this is a flip of the coin. You pray and we hope we get something good come out of this. This is what we want out of here. And, this is why the things don't work. This is why even, I'm sorry, but the average minister believes the exact same way about it. It's all a flip up here. The average minister in the United States don't even believe God healed. They believe he might, he can, he will, but mostly he don't. They don't believe in it. And this is one of the things is it's done in unbelief. And so we need to know if we're going to have to, it's going to require people to be in faith with God. And so we need to understand this. There's things that are, are prerequisites to learn and to understand if we're going to pray for people. And we really do, where people understand that they need to come to a place, to a position where they are ready to be prayed for. You know, I'm in business. You that want success, if you don't want success, let's not play a game. Let's not, if we're just doing this, it's worthless. I mean, think about it. Would you go to a doctor and, you know, we don't know whether anything's going to work or not or whatever. We're just going to go through some stuff here. You know, you'd like to find out a few things of, you know, hey, this guy, what are you going to be doing? What's your success rate? Well, we got 2%. What do you, how does that sound there? You know, sometimes, most of the time it doesn't work, but we'll just, let's do this to you anyhow. I make money at it. So, you know, but you know, and this is it. You need to understand how people are. Some people like to go through the motions of spirituality. They have no more intent in getting healed, man or woman. But they like to go through the things that somebody prayed for. And I'm not being spiritual. Like I'm interested. And the whole time they're not interested at all. It might be hard for you to believe that, but the churches are full of them. People that have really no intent that something's going to work. They don't really believe it. They're just going through the spiritual motions. There are people, I've all the years of it, people come and say, pray for me. Pray what? And you won't believe it. They'll stand there and stutter and stammer. They just throw that out there, have no clue what they just said. They're just doing their religious thing. They're just saying a religious thing, and they think that sounds good. Pray for me. For what? Pray for you. You get hit by the car on the way out? You know? Get run over the parking lot. What do you think? You're just going to throw out there to somebody, pray for me? Pray for you what? Say, you know, but you see, like, you know, this guy wants a certain thing and somebody over here praying for you. What on earth are they praying for you for? They might be praying something for opposite of what you really asked or wanted, what you want. But we just throw it out. It speaks spiritual. And a lot of the church world thinks like that about things. I mean, that's just the way it is. And, I found I learned some of these things over the years. At first I thought I was crazy, and then I listened, you know, to other ministers talk about how people do that. You know, pray for me, and they stop saying, what do you want prayed for? And the person, and it's number one, all the people that want prayer, because once you prayed for them specifically, I don't know what they think of. I mean, you couldn't pray for everybody that wants prayed for all the time. Or, you know, you dropped the dead of starvation because you wouldn't have time to get in to pray. And this is why as people, religion has this, especially in the areas of prayer. Somehow we think the prayer is the solve-all. I don't know how it got like that. But prayer seems to be this high thing of spirituality. This real far out place of spirituality. But you know, to approach God and you don't know what you're talking about or what you're doing is a waste of time, and it's a waste of your good breath. And, you know, prayer is a powerful thing if it's according to God's word. But if it's not, if it's people just going through the motions of things and not knowing what they're talking about, that's why, it's wonderful. When I heard Kenneth Hagin said, he said, he's talking about his personal prayer life, not praying for other people, praying himself. He said, I have never prayed one time that I did not get the answer I prayed for. And when I heard him say that, I thought, man, I got to find some things. I'm definitely missing it somewhere. Well, I found out. I found out what to do. Found out how to get my prayers answered. Concerning myself. And so you need to learn to do that. You know, you can't count on somebody praying for you and your needs. Well, number one, you need to care more about your need than somebody else does, because they might not care much about it. You might ask a person to pray for you. They might not care much at all about your need. I don't care how spiritual they might seem to you. It needs the top of your agenda should be, you may have the greatest concern about your prayer need. And so it's an important, it's one of the things as you're looking at and evaluate yourself on the importance of what you're praying for to you. What is it to you? And how important, you know, is this really important or isn't it? You know, as Randy Bruce, I like his saying, he said, whatever you're willing to put up with, you will. And that's one of the things it is. Whatever you are willing to put up with, you will. And there's people do that all the time. They're willing, there's things they're willing to put up with. They'll pray a little bit about it, but they're not really sold on getting that thing fixed. And you want to come to things. And that's why I decide, you know, I've learned this over the years and I do in myself. I get myself down. Am I really ready to deal with this situation? Am I really ready to deal with this? Am I really at the place where I'm going to do something about it? You know, sometimes I've gone into things and I realize I was half-hearted. I just, you know, I'm not having success and I'm having success. It is God's problem and anybody else's problem. It's my problem. I have not really sold. I haven't set myself where this thing is getting changed. And so when I get to the place where in my heart I am ready to move, and you need to know this, most people are in their heart are not ready to move. They're discomforted in the flesh. They're unhappy with what is going on. But in their heart, they're not ready to just say, okay, this is it. And when a person finally gets to that point, it's amazing how things change. It is amazing how things change when a person gets to that place where this is the way it is. We're going to do something now. Now I'm going to do something. I found out I have to do that all the time about things. You have to learn that about yourself. See, most people don't know themselves well, and you should. You should know you better than anybody. Amen. And you know what? It's a shame they don't, because most people, if you talk to them about the way they really are, they'll get mad at you because they don't notice that what they are. You know? It's like with me. I found out I must get myself in a position where I'll tell you, I'm ready to fight. It's like, okay, Ed, we're dealing with this now. This is the end. You don't get a break on this deal. This, you got to come to that place. And I find lots of times you get answers a lot faster when you start, you just set yourself. This is what I'm going to do. And in between that, we go through all the things and we, you know, go through the step, but it's a little fluffy and it's, you know, it doesn't go well. And I finally stop and say, hey, hold it. No, I'm not going to give you a break on this, Ed. We're going after this time. And, get yourself to that point, especially to get whatever it is you're asking for. Get this thing fixed. So, you know, it's just the same way. You understand that when we go to prayer, it doesn't matter what it's for. It's just like salvation. The Bible has established the path of salvation. It has established what you need to know and what God has done concerning your salvation, what you need to know about it, and what your part, what God does in salvation, and what you do in salvation, your part and His part. Now, you have to have those two the way the Bible says for it to work. See, we don't think of anything about that, but yet we have this today. We have loads and loads of people who are supposed to be leading people to salvation. And they, you know, and I'm just going to tell you, the average ministry today, getting people saved, don't act in a biblical way. Everybody, you know what they want to do? It's just like healing. Let's just go to the pray part. And they know nothing. They know nothing about what God has done. They know nothing about their need and really what they're supposed to do. I just want to say a little prayer and we're going to fix everything. You know, I want healing. I don't want to have time to think, just pray. Let's just pray. Let's just make this work. Well, see, salvation is no different. Salvation requires you to have knowledge of God to have faith. It's required. You got to believe in your heart and don't doubt. You know, as I tell the story about, you know, back, you know, years ago, I was only a Christian for a couple years, but I was working. It was a team challenge, and they had one of their big outside things that they had all these. It was like a week long thing with all these people, you know, group speakers and all this kind of stuff. And I was working in a tent where people would come in. You know, they call it counseling stuff. But then people have questions about things or different stuff, and talk to people about things. But a guy came walking in and he said to me, he said, I was just out there, and he said they had a band playing and they were doing something. He said, they asked if, you know, about accepting Jesus, and people wanted to come on down. He said, you just ask Jesus into your heart. And he said, well, if anything happened to me, he said, I don't know. Well, I knew right away what had gone wrong. See, they didn't follow the Bible. You see, they think they're doing nice things and good things. I'm going to tell you, a lot of people get so messed up, they'll end up in hell thinking they're saved because they follow what these men say. The Bible says nowhere in it, ask Jesus into your heart. It says it no place. It's not in Scripture. But it's in Christian religiousness up to here, man. It's all over. Just ask Jesus to come into your heart. No, I'm sorry. There's things you have to believe, the Bible says. Mm-hmm. There's things you have to know. Well, see, this guy, he said, if anything happened to me, I don't know. So I sit down, and I took him through the Scripture. I said, come here. So we're going to go through the Scripture. So we sit down. And see, this is the whole thing. It takes time. I'm sorry. See, we got rock and roll playing, man. We're having a good time, and we ain't got time for spending, preaching for somebody else. Then don't have altar calls.
That's right.
Because you got to have the word for people to have faith to be healed,
amen,
to be saved, to be whatever. And if you don't have time to do that with people, hold up on the praying stuff. Just forget about a lot of it. Because you got to bring the people to faith. You got to get them hooked up. Without faith, you can't please God. And if you're, I don't care. I can please God as much as I want, but I can't pray for everybody else and please God for everybody else. They got to please God. And we must come to, we got to get out of this silliness of so-called Christianity. It is this, we just hurry up and get a bunch of people saved. So I just said with the guy, we went through Scripture and I just laid out his need for salvation. And then what God did in his need for salvation and then what he needed to do. And so when he understood all that other stuff and I said, okay, now this is what we're going to do. And I said, we did a prayer that he prayed confessing his faith in the Word of God. And when he did it, I looked at him and I said, are you saved? He said, yes, I'm saved. He said, we did what the Bible said.
Amen.
He had faith. Now they had him, I'd say, ask Jesus in your heart. It didn't do anything. Every one of those people that did that out there, it did nothing for them. And just think, the rest of them thought, maybe somehow I must be okay. He's the only guy that realized it didn't work. It didn't do nothing. I've had people, are you Christian? Yeah, I asked Jesus into my heart. I said, yeah, good luck. I have never met a person who has said that to me when I really talk about it. They know nothing about salvation or coming to Christ. They don't know nothing about it. Why? They never were told anything about it. I asked Jesus into my heart. I was reading the book of Revelation. The church at Laodicea. Jesus is knocking on the door. They're in there having church. Think they're having a great time. He said, I'm standing at the door knocking. Jesus is outside the thing. But they think they've got a great church around. You can't leave the Word of God. That's the success of Christianity. I don't know how to do it for anybody else. I just know I followed this path of the Word that I learned from Kenneth Hagin. And God told me, the Holy Spirit's working me, told me to stay close to his teaching. Why? Because it's in line with the Word. Staying in line with the Word. You always stay in line. You'll have success. And if you follow the Word and you have success, you can take other people and bring them to the same success.
Amen.
You can do that. Just when people tell me, I don't know how to lead somebody to salvation. Well, then you must have never got the road. You must have never got it. That you don't have, if I'm out here, like saying, I'm standing down in Atlanta, Georgia today, and I drove down there, I should be able to tell somebody how to get to Atlanta, Georgia, shouldn't I? I just drove there. If I can't, good chance I was on drugs and ended up someplace I didn't know where I was at. And that's most of Christianity. I think it's people on drugs that can't figure out where. I don't know. I get here. I don't know. But see, if you know, this is why, as you teach people. See, I learned, this one thing is I learned from everything from, like when I started off as a Christian, got saved, and like Kenneth Hagin, getting filled with the Holy Ghost. I followed listening to teaching to him about baptism of the Holy Ghost and that stuff. And I know how I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I know how he did it. And following along, because there's always a pattern. God has a pattern to everything. And really, the pattern to come into faith never changes. Is we just have this tendency. People want the end result, but they don't want to have to go through what you need to go through. So you can get that end result. But just think about it. Everything in life is like that. You go out here and build a house. You may envision all you want of having that beautiful living room with all that nice furniture and all this kind of stuff in it. But I'm sorry, if you don't have a vision for a footer, you ain't ever having a living room. You things you build, and it's the same way. The Word of God works in the same way. And so what we want to find out as we go through teaching, we want to look at the things of the God side and the man side. You have to understand both of them. You need to know God's side. You know, when we deal with salvation with somebody, a person needs to know what God has done and why he's done it for salvation. That's what we're not preaching about anymore. Everything is, let's get the end of the confession. And it leaves people, you know, because I've had this many times over the years. I've had people say to me, I just can't believe God would save me because of all my bad life and all I've done. And I always find this out. There's people who always try to lead them to salvation, but have never preached the goodness of God to them. That's why they have no faith for it. That's why they just can't see themselves being saved. Well, see, because they can't come to a place of faith. Faith will lead you to something greater. See, faith allows you to receive things from God that you could never receive before. You can never open your heart to take. And this is why we got to speak to them. But the bad part about this, most Christians don't know how much God loves them. So they can't preach it. They don't know themselves. Many Christians, I'm sorry, how many people have been Christians in years, and they're just sort of skeptical about how far God will go with that. I've heard people say, you know, they Christians, people born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and say they just didn't think God would heal them because of the stuff they had done. They don't know the love of God. They don't know how great he is. They don't know how kind and merciful he is. They don't know. They need to know that. See, faith in that would change everything for them. That would change everything. You see, you need to go, God, I don't care how much faith you try to produce on your side, your faith on your side will never go any further than your faith in God. Can never, it can't go any further. You can't be skeptical of God and at the same time have a lot of faith for you. You can't.
Amen.
You can't do that. And so we need to know the God side of things. That's hugely important. Now this is all headed toward this foundational, because this is what this foundational stuff's about. Once people find out what God has said, his side, the easiest part to me is the man's side. Usually, people are trying to do God's side and wanting him to do their side. They got this thing mixed up. We want to find out first what God's side is. What is God doing? What's his side? Find out what God said. And so we teach the God side first, and then we teach the man's side, what man needs to do. Now, man's side usually is not hard. Sometimes it's maybe hard on people's flesh somewhat. But when we turn around and really, if we understand and comprehend the love of God, and it's really in how God's mercy and the pattern that God set for us to do, it's just like when I took that man through salvation, and when I said to him, I said, ask him if he was saved, he looked at me, and he looked me right in the eye, and he looked at me and said, we did what the Word of God said. I know I'm saved. We did what the Word of God said. In other words, there's confidence in him. The Word gave him a confidence that he didn't have before he walked in that room. But when he got in there and he got what the Word of God was, he was bold and confident. I know. Well, that boldness just doesn't come because we just read some things in the Bible. Faith rose up in him. He was in faith with what he did, and it made him bold. He was bold concerning his salvation. Well, it's the same with any other thing, with healing or whatever thing. See, and I've learned is over time, I learned in my own personal life concerning healing. I'm just really bold about it. I am bold concerning healing. I mean, I know sometimes people have a hard time with me about it. But I tell you what, you know, I'm bold concerning healing. I mean, that's just, I know that God wants me well. I know that I know. And I know what to do to get it. I know. I have done it and worked it and done it. It works. And that's why the Lord said to me some years ago, he said, you tell people this, that if they will listen to what you say and do it, they will get healed every time. He said, you tell them I told you that. I know what to do. I know how to get it. But see, lots of people, there's 47 other different things that are being taught and preached out here, and people are looking for what they like rather than what the Word says. That's wise. I love Brother Hagin. Read what the Bible says. I don't care what some minister says. And if I say it and ain't the Bible, then it don't matter. It's what the Bible says. Once you got what the Bible says and you act on it, it'll work. It'll work for you. And so that's what you want to do. And what happens is it'll bring a boldness and you'll be so confident. And people don't like it. They consider it an arrogance, but they don't know. The Bible talks about having confidence toward God. We have little of that in the church world today, confidence toward God. No, God can just do anything he wants. Well, if he can just do anything he wants, you can't have any confidence toward him. Then this whole thing's been a lie. And there's no such thing as strong faith. Well, yeah, there is a thing such as strong faith, because you have confidence in God, his word, because he changes not. And if he changes not, then he can't just do anything he wants. See, we don't like to have a God like that, but really for our sakes, the one of the most glorious things God ever did is God limited himself for our sake. He did. He set down laws and rules he will not cross. God could, if God had wanted to, he could have just said, well, everybody will always be well. But he didn't do it that way. God put it in the hands of men. God put it in our hands. God gave us the authority, and whether we like it or not, in a sense, he's made us gods. Now, not like the God of the universe, the creator, but concerning our destiny is like in the earth. The Christian stands in a place of authority like a god in the earth. Whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Imagine heaven's responding to us. See, that's heresy and that's blasphemy to most religious and most Christians. I mean, I have people write online on things about me. And the blasphemy, I preach, you say those things. They don't like it. They like the churches where God's in control and I'm going to kill your kids. They like that stuff. They love it. Well, God can do whatever. He has real wisdom. He killed my child for a purpose. He needed another star in heaven. He must be a sick prison. Right. Number one, they ain't a star. They up there burning up or what? I don't know. But people go through these things, and now we've got a lot of this angel stuff where people now dying to become angels. A lot of craziness on it. But dealing with the subject of real understanding, it's just like the subject of love. God commanded man to love. In fact, it was a commandment that he gave. But also, he shed the love of God abroad in the hearts of a believer. In other words, you as a believer, God has shed his love abroad in your heart to love. But I want you to understand this. Even though you got born again and that love has been shed abroad in your heart, you may never act or walk in it unless you gain knowledge of what that love is. You must have knowledge of the love of God. You have to have the knowledge of the love. Or what is it? It doesn't matter. It's like somebody knows nothing about the United States, nothing about. Let's see, somebody comes from another planet. We put them in here. We take them down inside a bank and we said, look, we put $1 million in the account for you. You know what that would mean to them? Yeah. Nothing. They don't know what it is or what it's about or anything, even though it's an account for them. There it is. And it would do things for them while they're here, but if they don't have knowledge of what it is and what it's used for and whatever, it would be of no account. Well, it's the same way. We must gain knowledge of the Word of God for it to be able to benefit us. That's why God put the Holy Spirit in us. He's the teacher. Tells us, guides us, and leads us in the truth. He takes what belonged to Jesus. Well, Jesus is the Word of God. So he reveals the Word to us. He gives us knowledge of the kingdom of God and how it operates and how it works so we can benefit from it. That's its purpose. And then we can take that knowledge, we can pass it on. Just like here in the natural knowledge. People get you and pass it on. I mean, if you figured out how to fix a certain thing in your car, you have a certain car and you can go tell somebody else if you have that knowledge, you can give them that knowledge for them to be able to do the same thing. Well, the kingdom of God is identical. It's no different. But we have to gain knowledge. So we deal with love. Now think about this. In Ephesians, the fifth chapter says, in the fifth chapter, verse 25 Listen what the scripture says here. It says, husbands, it says, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Now I want you to think that. Think about this. A husband is told to love his wife like Christ loved the church. What if a husband doesn't ever gain the knowledge of how Christ loves the church? Well, can he ever love his wife? No. For me to be able to love my wife the way Christ loves the church requires me to gain the knowledge of how Christ loves the church. If I don't know about that, that's it. That's Ephesians. That was Ephesians 5 and verse 25. Ephesians 5, 25. But I want you to think about that. If you didn't gain and don't understand how Christ loves the church, then there's no way that that man could love his wife in that manner. In other words, to be able to operate in love, you have to know how God loves. See, God, there's a God side. So in other words, there's the God side of how he loves, and then there's my side of how I act that out. See, there's two sides to this thing, and they can work. But you can't make it work without knowing God's side. See, much of the church world is trying to figure out how you do all this stuff without God. We're trying to come out. No, you find out how God does it. How does God love? How does God love the church? And in the same manner. So if the man does it, and this is why we're looking and going through all of this stuff, and haven't got started on the foundation, is because understand the importance of foundation. If this is not done, most of the time praying and stuff for things is not going to work. It's not going to work. It's not going to have the success. This is why, you know, there's this like 10-15%. That's why people get so excited. The littlest thing God does, and they get all excited about it, because it's really the extraordinary thing that happens. It's not the ordinary. See, healing should be the ordinary. Healing in the church should be just as common as you walk up and you turn your spigot on and water comes out of it. And I'm serious. It should be just as common. You know, I can really say this, and I mean, you could ask my wife and my kids. My kids have still grown. Healing and things was so common in our house, we thought nothing of it, and nobody thought it was some big deal. It was the norm. It was the norm. It was the norm that we had supernatural events taking place. It was the norm. We expected it. That's the way it was supposed to operate. But see, we were taught. See, it's one thing. I listened to teaching and listened to teaching. I didn't just, I didn't sit and listen to everybody's teaching about everything. Mm-hmm. I paid attention to who God told me who to listen to, and I spent time listening, and I was taught that the supernatural and that kind of stuff going on was normal in Christianity. Now, that is abnormal in Christianity and almost all Christianity teachings. A miracle is, something just out of here. It should not be that at all. The miraculous should not be in that manner. But see, we've been taught to think like that. Therefore, that's our knowledge. So we don't expect supernatural to happen. You know, I learned this. I've seen many things. It's like the Lord a few years ago talked to me about it. There's, over the last 5 years, the Lord has talked to me about a number of things of over the years of how they operate. And really, from the standpoint, and I'm not saying this thing, it's not a brag or anything, but he said, and those these different things he talked about, he commended me in different things in life of walking in where things became normal for us, for one of them. And he made mention about it. And, well, one of the things it is he said in the areas of the miraculous. And that's when he spoke to me, and he said, you know, that I do, you know, really outrageous things. They're not outrageous from the standpoint of things spiritually. They're outrageous to how most people believe. See, what most people would what you do, and even most ministers, I've been told ministers, you know, you need to, you know, basically you need to tame it down some, you know. You shouldn't have so much stuff on you. God shouldn't bless you so much and some things. You know. They don't like it. You need to understand there's people don't like it. The ones that can't get it. When I first started off in Christianity and this church God sent me to, and I went there and all they ever tried to do was throw cold water on you all the time because the people in that church had been spirit-filled Christians, some for 40, 50 years, and they hardly ever had anything happen. And so Wanda and I come along, we have all, and our kids, we have all kinds of things happen. And they're trying to throw cold water on you all the time. They're always trying to, you know, they're the wet blankets of the church. They're trying to put out the fire all the time. They don't like it. It makes them feel uncomfortable. Instead of seeing somebody on fire and say, man, I want to get on fire like that. You need to understand, the average person don't want that. They want you to tame down like they are. The average person will not want to go to where you're at if you're walking in something good. They don't want to go there. They are socialists. They want to take what you have and they want to get it. They don't have to do anything for it. But they're not going to go there themselves. You know, they're not going to start the business. I just want to take from it. That's what I want to do. And that's the way, you know, that's, I'm sorry, that's the way it runs. But you, now, you can't walk along and get upset about all that. That's just the way it is. You know, you just keep, you know, they can say and do what they want, and I'm going to just burn up. You know, it don't matter. We're just going to keep going along and walking in faith. We're just going to keep doing it because, you know, we have to have the supernatural. And the supernatural for you, you want it to become the norm. And it's not hard to do. Is number one, finding out from God, taking the time, just like here, if the love of God shed abroad in our hearts, gain knowledge of it, and then you can operate in it. The Bible is filled with supernatural. Look, I mean, read it. Start from Genesis on through. It is full of the supernatural. It's full of the supernatural for people. All kinds of people who had supernatural, loads and loads of it. You know, take Elijah, the widow and Elijah, the one where he went past her place and she turned around and said, come on in, and she fed him and said to her husband, we need to build him a place. Her entire life was filled with supernatural events happened because she walked in and she honored what God was doing. She found out what God did and she continued and followed in it and God blessed. Mm-hmm. While the rest of them didn't. See, most people didn't get blessed like that. Now, a lot of people would say for a lot of reasons why that they think it happened just for her. No, this is a special thing for her. You know. It's not for the rest of us. It's just for her. Because one thing, she was always obedient and to God. And she walked in the light that she had. And that's what you want to do. Gain the knowledge of the love of God. You know, it's just it's like I said, we proclaim the gospel. You know, you have to tell people. People need to understand their responsibility. People need to understand their condition to be saved. Why they have to be saved. People need to understand that they're under the wrath of God. See, we don't like to deal with, see, certain things we don't like to deal with of why salvation. What's the purpose of salvation? What it's about? I mean, is everybody pretty nice? Why would God have us go through this thing to get to heaven? I mean, what is this thing? Why couldn't we get to heaven if we're all pretty nice? Yeah. Why couldn't we get to heaven anyway? Well, now they preach today at the camp. Today, everybody goes to heaven. See, today, you need to, here's the thing that you really need to learn. What needs to be preached at the time. Should I tell you what? Today, we don't need to be preaching real pretty sermons to people to get saved. I'll tell you what, we need more hell preached. Because of the most everybody's over in the other camp today is we're all nice and we're all going to heaven. And if you preach more grace to them, they're all going to go to hell. You're going to make sure that they do. They need to know. People need to know. You need to talk to people today and tell them the truth about condition. Everybody ain't going to. I mean, like I said, I don't care. You go to a funeral. Everybody's going to heaven. I mean, I sat in funerals, and I knew the person ain't in heaven. I knew where they were. And the minister standing up there lying. The minister standing up there. And all these people. Why? Because, sometimes they even know. But they will like this. Well, you know, we want to bring comfort to the family. Oh, your lion's going to really be, when they end up in hell, they're going to really be comforted by you. I mean, I've turned people down and that stuff. I had someone, you know, from our church, they had a relative who died and I went to do the funeral for them. And I knew the person, they never went to church, they never went anything. And I said, they had asked the one family member to ask if I would do the funeral. And I said, you have to tell them this. I said, you know, I've got to help people, but I said, you need to tell them this. We will not say that they're in heaven. We will not. They are not in heaven. They were not Christians. They were not born again. And I will not perpetrate a lie in front of everybody. I said, we will not talk about them being in heaven. So I said, you need to decide whether you want me there or not. I said, I'll preach this out. What I do in those schedules, I've done some of them already. I preach salvation terms. It's not for the individual. I preach for the people. So that's what I preach. But I will not say a person's in heaven. They don't like it and they feel discomfort. I want them discomforted because they're going to be in the same place if they make the same decisions he did. So it's like, come on. And so I said, I can't get up and do that. I said, I can't go against my conscience. I said, I'm not trying to be mean, but I said, I can't do that. And I said, we won't have nobody standing up and giving a, you know, they'll, you know, tell us, yeah, I know they're in heaven and I know that. I said, we ain't going to have none of that. We ain't going to have none of that. Well, they decided they didn't want to have anything. And I know why, because for the sake of the other people, for the family member, I went with them to the service and they all talked about they're in heaven sitting around a campfire drinking beer together. That's what they're doing. Oh, well, that's nice. But you know, they're sitting around, and I'm sure where he is, there's fire. I'm sure of that. And they're sitting there, and they can talk that stuff, and they can do those things. But I'm going to tell you, every day ministers, will get up in front of people, and they say, oh, we're Christian, and they have their little crosses and Jesus on them and everything. And then they stand and tell people they're okay with it or not. Preach funerals and that stuff. Oh, it just, to me, to be around that, to stand and lie. And, praise God. Let's tell people the truth, but there's truth that we have to come to, and you and I, as believers, there's truth at foundations that we must know and understand, especially to hook up with God. And this is why you always want to take the time with people, you know, to talk to them about it. You know, it's like one of the things is Kenneth Hagin talked about years ago. He had talked about there was a lady. In fact, she was in her 80s at the time. I think she was around like 85 or something like that. Somewhere, 85, maybe a few years old. But she had come down with cancer, and she had been a Christian filled with the Spirit for something like 50, 60 years. She'd been a long time. But anyhow, Kenneth Hagin this is back in his pastoring days, and he got sent to the church, and here this lady, her daughter went to the church where he was sent to, and anyhow, she was dying, and she had stomach cancer, and he said she really had been suffering a lot. She had really been going through a terrible time, this older lady. And so the daughter asked if he would come and pray with her, and he went with her and to talk with her, and he went in to pray. He is a great example. I remember the first time I heard him say it, just a young Christian. And he said, I went in and talked with her, and he said, the reason she had come into the kingdom of God to begin with as a young girl was she got healed and they come into the kingdom and then got filled with the Holy Ghost. And basically, she had walked in health for all life. And she comes around and she gets this cancer. Well, he went in and talked, they talked about this thing, and he had known her. And he had said to her about healing, and she said, no, she said, I just want to die. I just want to go home. And he said, no, he said, I ain't going to do it. He said, get healed and then die if you want to. But he said, don't go like this. God don't get any glory out of it. And understand, God don't get any glory out of people in there suffering and things. And these people there, well, person suffered terrible. Well, God's got glory out of it. What glory to get out of that? You go ask their family members how much they love Jesus. Mm-hmm. Over watching your family suffer.
That's right.
I'll tell you, preachers sometimes are so dumb. Some of the dumbest person in the crowd would probably be a preacher. Dumb as dumb. And he said, I'm not going to do that. Now he said, you know, he said, I prayed for her when I left, but he said, not for healing. He said, she was in no position. He said, she wasn't trying to get healed. But she said, she wants to leave. He said, so I didn't pray for her healing. He said, that would have done no good. She wasn't in a position. He said, I prayed and asked the Lord that she wouldn't give up her confidence. See, she had given up her confidence in God. That's what she had. She needed to get her confidence back. In other words, she needs to get faith back. She's not in faith. See, she's been suffering because she hasn't been using her faith. Well, if you want to bring a person around from there, one of the things you have to learn to know, and this is where you learn to listen to your own spirit, listen to your spirit and not your own emotions. This is why families usually don't do very good concerning family members, generally. because they're too emotionally involved. They don't get spiritually involved. They just get emotionally involved. And they get emotionally involved because, you know, it's a family member, and they get, and so, and it's about their own emotion. It's not about the person. And people suffer a lot because of their emotions. That's why you can't get over this emotional stuff if you want to help people. And you need to understand, when you're emotionally involved and you can't control it, then you stay out of it. You need to learn to turn yourself off if you want to help the individual. Now, I'm just saying, I know how it works. Man, I've been around it. Man, I've been around it already. I know if I get the family to sit down, shut up, quit their nonsense, Christian people, supposed to be spirit-filled, I know we can get some stuff done. But I know as long as they're involved, it'll never get done. It'll never happen. I walked into hospitals already, and I just wanted to yell at all the family, get out of this room now. See that? It's a place that you can't pray. The only thing that can work there is the devil, and they've been doing it the whole time they've been there. You want to help people. You got to know when you're able and when you're not. You have to learn to know that. You've got to learn what you can do and what you can't. And so as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. The Holy Ghost knows what's going on. The Holy Ghost understands. Understand, Jesus could not just pray everywhere and with everybody. Read the Scriptures. He took a guy out of town. Why? The unbelief in the town. He could not, but took a guy out of town. Man, I'll tell you, I've had people I wanted to take out of town. There's people that I know, if they would have listened to me, they would have got healed, and they died because they wanted to stay around their family. And I knew they were going to die because they want, their family means more than anything. Well, I want healing, but I want to stay with the unbelief. Well, hit the box with it. That's what's going to happen. See, people, I know this sounds like hard stuff, but I'm going to tell you what, people wonder, I don't understand why they died. I don't understand. Well, if you ever listen to your spirit, you get a lot more answers in that area because you find out why. Just sometimes you can't do things and you have to understand that. Well, this lady, he didn't pray for it. What he did is he went back the next day and he started reading her some scriptures. So he went back day after day as often as he could reading her scriptures. And in 6 months, she was completely healed.
Praise God.
She is completely healed. She was so bad off, the doctors said she would die in days. And she ended up, he going back and he just kept getting her scriptures. Got her. Well, she came back to the place where her faith could work. Then you can pray and ask. But you can't till then. See, too many times people, they already, let's get to the praying. Like the praying's going to change it. The praying ain't going to change it. You need to understand that. There's things that must be changed. Things that must be set in order for it to work. And if people will listen, it'll work. It'll work.
Amen.
Now, sometimes you get a person gets over too far and you can't. I've had ones where the Lord told me, you know, just let it alone. It's not going to, they can't. The first time I ever had that happen, the Lord spoke to me concerning a lady who had a brain tumor. And he said to me, he said, she is not in any position that she'll be able to get herself over to where she'll be able to be healed. He said, I want you to just make a good home for me for her. And so then I'd just go, and all I'd do is we'd talk about heaven, and I'd read her scriptures on heaven, and we would do that. And I'd go in, getting her ready to go, and she had been a Christian, but hadn't been going to church for years, and hadn't really been walking up. But till she left, she was back in fellowship with God again, and she was in good shape and everything spiritually, and ready to go would be Jesus. You know, most people will let their relatives die around them while they're doing all their praying and carrying on and never work to get that person to make sure where they know where they're at spiritually. To make sure that person. Number one in life, you want to be ready to meet Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it would be a better way to do it, like instead of just dying and going to heaven right away, but we need to know the importance, and we bypass a lot of the important stuff. Because it's people trying to get what they want out of prayer. I want to just keep them here. And it's about them. It isn't about that person. You know, it's like a funeral. The funeral's never for the person who died. I've never done one funeral. It's been for the person who died. The funeral is all about the person who's dead. They don't even know nothing about that thing going on. They haven't got a clue about it, and they ain't there. It's about us. It's about us. This is about dealing with us. But we have this whole idea. See, when you realize how much we do that's about us, and if you don't realize, number one, understand this, you'll never become effective at ministering to people because you'll be mostly ministering out of what works for you. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. You want to, what's working for them? Finding out where people are at. Where are they in this thing? And that's a huge thing. There's a lot of times, even like with, and let me just say this, is like even in the areas of salvation, you're bringing a person to Jesus, different people are at different places in their knowledge of God and in their, what they know that's going on. Like some people, I run into people and they're just, do you ever run into somebody who really didn't know a lot about Jesus and you run into a person like that? And I mean, they weren't like atheists, didn't like God, they just didn't know stuff. But then you run into other people and they have been religious backgrounds and that kind of stuff. And depending on who and that you're dealing with depends a lot. You don't have to learn to be led by the Holy Spirit. The idea of these people, you have this canned thing that you read to people and say to them, and that's a bunch of bunk junk and hog wash. I wish it was all that easy. but from the natural, it's not like that because people are at different places of their knowledge of God. And you have to find out where a person's at. You got to find out what they're dealing with. You know, sometimes I've had the Lord have me ask people questions and I think, oh, this sounds stupid. Why did he keep coming and ask the question? And you think, this don't make any sense. It don't seem to be at all what we're dealing with. But all of a sudden you ask them a certain question and all of a sudden, bang, we start talking about certain things. All of a sudden you know exactly what their problem is. You know exactly what's going on. So you need to learn to listen about with people because what's holding them back or how to reach them. Everybody, people are different. People are different and where they're at. And we deal with a lot of people today, especially you're going to have, I mean, we have so much today is you have the love of God. There is no, you know, things aren't evil. Nobody's a sinner. Nobody's that. You're dealing with a lot of people in that area today. They don't have a knowledge of sin, you know. To them, the idea of doing wrong is the norm. That's true. You know, this is just the way that it is. God loves us all. So me doing bad things don't really matter, you know. It's not wrong to do things. I mean, think of today. I mean, how many people claim to be Christians and, you know, you have abortions, you can, homosexuality is all right, everything else, fornication, adultery, all that's okay. It's all right. Well, we're just people. Yeah. There's people on the way to hell. I mean, but they don't, so they have no knowledge of sin. Churches don't preach the knowledge of sin. There's not wrongdoing. Christians have no idea, you know, I believe in Jesus. People think, I'm saved because I believe in Jesus. Well, the Bible don't say just because you believe in Jesus, you're saved. It don't say that. But you, we have this idea. They go around to people, do you believe? And a person says, yeah. Oh, they're a Christian. They believe. Believe what? They don't ask, nobody asks about what a person believes. It's all this stupid stuff that's thrown out there. And we have all this junk going on today. They're a Christian. And they're the furthest thing from being a Christian. But, you know, they believe. Well, it says the devil believes. And he ain't going to heaven either. So, but we need to understand, we have all this stuff we throw out there, but we don't gain knowledge of what is going on or what's happening. We just, you know, let's do a prayer. Hey, let's do a prayer. That's the fix all. You know, there it is. We got it. Boy, are we spiritual. We just pray. What did it do? Nothing. Make things worse. Oh, praise God. So we want to find out, and we're going to, as we go on here and teach you, we're going to look at the fact that we want to come to the place to position ourselves. This deals with the area of healing. It's things that you need to know. And also we're going to find out, and these foundational things are very good for us to know. Generally, as a Christian, you need to know these things. Some of these things are really good. Some of them are specifically dealing with the areas of healing. There's things that people have to become settled within themselves concerning God's opinions and what God has said about healings. If you don't know that God wants you well, if you aren't sure to that specifically, then you're going to always have a problem in the areas of healing. You're always going to have trouble in there. You must come to the place where you're convinced. Or it's like the Mark 11:24 will never work for a person in prayer unless they know without a doubt it's God's will to have for them to have what they're asking for. You should never be praying for things you do not know God wants you to have. Because you'll make a nasty habit in your life of just praying all the time about stuff that never comes to pass. And after a while, you won't even, you'll give up on your prayer life. So you need to be careful. So many people spend so much time praying. They're so used to not getting prayers answered, it don't even matter anymore. It doesn't. We just go through these motions of these things and that, and it don't matter. We shouldn't be. Personally, I believe it's a sin to pray for what you don't believe God wants you to do. I believe it's a downright sin. You're acting against the Word of God. You don't know God wants you healed. You can't pray for it by faith. You can't please Him. He ain't happy with you running at the mouth you don't believe. So what do you want to do? You want to become convinced. And if you follow Scripture, you can become so convinced that God wants you well that you will not be able to see it any other way.
Amen.
You know, I don't care what happens to me. It is never God's fault. I know God wants me well. I just know it. I know it. I know it. You know, just when I went through with the blood clot in my lung, the whole thing that I was thinking, and that happened to me, is number one, I knew God wants me well, and I'm interested in this. Have I messed up and opened the door anywhere in my life to allow this? I want to know. Why? Because it's not God's will. So I know God ain't bringing this. If it happened, it has to do with Ed. It doesn't have to do with God. This is Ed dealing with this, not God. God wants me well. So, I want to know that if there's anything stands between me and God, that why this is going on, that the devil can come and do this, why this is happening. I want to know, don't you? Most people don't. They all think it's, well, just in life, things are going to happen. I mean, I've had preachers that have been, you know, in minister fellowships and my rulers over me and stuff, and yeah, you know, well, all this bit of, well, you know, sometimes God wants, excuse me. Anyhow, you get over it. You got to watch yourself and listen to it. I just knew that if I need to deal with this, I do. If there's anything and I'm missing it, God knows what I'm missing. He knows everything. The devil ain't going to tell me. And so, so what I did is I sat down and you don't realize, you know, the whole thing of it is, until I know for sure that I'm clear, my faith can't work like I'd like it to. Now, I was sitting in the ER, and I'm going to tell you what, I was about the most severe pain I've been in my life. I mean, I didn't think a little blood clot could cause so much pain in your chest. I mean, you talk about pain. Yow! I mean, the only time to quit is if you quit breathing. If you held your breath and your lung didn't work, it would stop. It's a little hard to do that for you. Especially when you're in all this pain and your lung isn't working right, so you can't take deep breaths, so you can't get much oxygen at one time, and so you're just in pain. But I'm determined. I told Wanda, we got in, and I was really glad because I needed some quiet. And they took us in the room and they set us down, and the nurse, everybody left. I need to hear. I need to hear. I don't need a bunch of commotion. I already got enough noise going on in my body. And I was sitting there, and I just said, Lord, you know, if I missed it, whatever it is, you show me what's going on. I want to know. I want to know what's happening here. But see, I want to be able to get a hold of this thing. I don't want to have to sit here. I want my faith to work. See, lots of times people never check why things are happening. I don't understand that. You know, you can get over in the areas of wanting healing, but there's things that are wrong. And if they don't get corrected, you can try all you want to get healed, and they won't work till you get that correct. The devil can keep doing that. And so I was sitting there, and then the Lord said, I asked the Lord about it. He said, don't be concerned about anything. He said, everything's going to be all right. And when I heard that, I looked over at Wanda, and I smiled at her, and I said, I just heard from the Lord. I said, don't be concerned. Everything's just fine. I instantly started improving. See, my faith, but I see, once I knew I had it, now, I get it. Now, my faith took hold immediately. I tell you, within a half an hour, I'm sitting there smiling and everything else. I'm just...
Hallelujah.
But it, you need to understand, but you got it. This is the whole thing. You got to know what makes your faith work. There's principles you have to follow. Everybody wants to get to that I got it part. That's where everybody wants to end up. But they want to start there. You want to start there. You've got to be convinced about God. You got to be convinced. You got to know. If I don't want to be some, I can do things that can hold things up. I've had it happen with me. I've had it happen things I had to correct. You know, there's things that happen to your kids. My youngest daughter, Elena, one time, she got and hit her chin. It was because of me. I had to repent. So I get her fixed up. So you need to know. Loads of times things happen. Those things happen to people's kids because of them, things that they've done. And they just, oh, this is an accident. Ain't no accident. And so I had to do two things. I had to repent to God, and I had to go to my child and tell them, you know what happened to you ain't your fault. It's my fault. This happened because of me. I didn't do what was right. And this happened to you. Well, see, I want to get this thing fixed. I don't want her in pain. They said she hit the sidewalk so hard, they said that they're amazed it didn't break her jaw. Yet she fell. And so when I told her, I said, don't be angry at God. I said, your daddy did this. I said, this is my fault. So you gotta, you know, there's things people gotta learn, they don't learn. I don't know, I just learned a lot of things as a young Christian. I had good teaching and listening to stuff and not over listening to all this religious junkies people talk. And but you know, with her. And the most amazing thing, she went in and they ended up sewing her up, take her home, and they were telling her about all these problems she's going to have for a while with pain and everything and that. She went home and never had a bit of pain or anything at all. You see how good God, in spite of her stupid daddy, but her stupid daddy repented and repented to her, and you know what? She came home, she could talk and move her mouth and everything. I said, her stitches and I never bothered her at all. She could talk and eat and everything else. And I went back to the doctor and they were like, oh my God. It's like nothing. Hallelujah. That's the goodness of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You see, you want to walk right. Like, listen, this is a broke her ankle. Power of God come on me. I jerked her up off the living room floor and said, in the name of Jesus, the devil, you ain't breaking my child's ankle. And I stood her up and I slammed her down on her feet. And I said, wow! And she started walking and was completely healed.
Amen.
We had some crazy stuff. Nutty stuff going on. But you have to learn what you can do and what you can't do. You have to learn when you mess up, especially dealing with other people. Now, with my family, I learned this with my kids and stuff growing up. I had a lot of control over things spiritually. Well, I had control over them spiritually. There's a lot of things I could just do because they were my kids. Now they're older today. I can't. I can't do that. I can't just up and pray and God, you know, do this for them and do that for them. It don't work. They have to be there. Now, if they get in the group, they ask me to join them in agreement, I get in agreement with them. It works. You know, and so, but, you know, anytime something serious happens, they always call me. But I always tell them, I say, well, what do you believe in? As long, I can only go as far as they'll let me. They'll, and they have to be able, they can't, you just can't take off. And, I don't care how much faith I got in. I don't know how much faith I can do. There's lots of times my grandkids, I'd like to have, I could, if it was my authority, then a lot more things straightened out. But it can't be, because I ain't got the authority to do it. I ain't got the authority to do it. You have to learn that stuff. That's their baby. They can't, you know, I can agree with them on stuff, but they have to, they gotta walk where they need to. See, we have this whole idea that we're just gonna pray and we're just gonna get this and all right. That's how many Christians get so disappointed in life, and this is how they try to be God. You know, I'm gonna be God and take care of it all. Amen. You start doing that, and after a while, you swear yourself out, die prematurely. Everything. I'll tell you what, I ain't going to die trying to be God. I ain't. I'm not God. And I'm not God to my kids. You know, there's things I know about faith, but I ain't God. You know, they get the things of, you know, and all stuff. And sometimes I don't like it because they turn around and my... One daughter, you know, well, just ask Grandpa. And I was like, yeah, no problem, Spirit. Just ask Grandpa. You know, it's like, hey, Grandpa ain't God. Mm-hmm. You know, Grandpa didn't sit around and wait for somebody else to pray for him. Grandpa learned how to walk with God and get it.
Amen.
I don't want to have to, but you know what? Since I got told my kids when they're little, I ain't going to be around all the time. Okay. Jesus tarries, I'm going to be gone. And you can't walk by faith, you don't have me to agree with you. Mm-hmm. I'm gone. And if you can't do it, you're in trouble. Mm-hmm. You better learn. You teach them. You know, we taught our kids, we taught them how to do it, how to walk, and that's what you need to do. You can't be the one they run to all the time. You can't be. You become that to them, you become like a god. Well, they're going to come, they're going to fix it. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't. You teach your children, because you teach them, God will respond to them as quick as he can do. God will answer you. See, I want a relationship with God. I don't care what somebody else got. If I can't have one, who cares? It don't matter what they got. It's what I can have. My life's based on what my relationship, my hookup with him. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want. You want to have that. That when I speak to him, he talks to me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. There ain't nothing better. When trouble comes, you know, I don't care how much you can listen. When you're in a serious trouble, I don't care what you hear somebody else say God say. It ain't near as good as you heard what God said. It ain't near as good. And it don't inspire you near as much Amen. Than when you heard it.
Yep.
And that's why you want to do the hearing. Always getting to somebody else to do the hearing for me. It don't work. It doesn't work. Hallelujah. So I just encourage you guys, you know, just we go through here, we're gonna lay in a foundation for healing. And this we want to do this so we can walk, but also we can help others.
Amen.
Of what they need to know and do. Because if you know what to take them through and know what to do, hallelujah, God's word will always work. Always.
Amen.
Always work. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you because, Lord God, your word does change not. Hallelujah. It's always, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord God, we're the ones that need change. And we want to thank you. You lead us to good change. Hallelujah. And Father, that's what your word does, working in us. It changes our lives. It changes who and what we are and how we think. And Lord God, we surely do need that. Lord, there's so much today of pressures on the outside trying to push in, trying to make us conform to a way of life and a way of thinking. But Lord God, we refuse that in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord God, the word has a way to live and a way to walk and a way to think. And Father, that's our love. That's what we want. We want to know how you think. We want to know heaven's thoughts. We want to know what heaven does in situations. We want to be able to act on the word of God in every situation, not just in some. Lord God, this world needs to see the reality of the kingdom of God in this place. Lord God, they're not seeing much of it. Lord God, they're hearing a lot of talk about God and God being good. But Lord God, we need demonstration and manifestation of the Spirit where the Word of God is being revealed in truth that people can see it, people can know it, hallelujah, and they can act upon it. And so we thank you, Father God. Father, we ask to be used, Lord God. We don't want to just be ones who hoard up knowledge and things. Lord, we want to be able to teach and instruct people. We want to be able to reveal this knowledge to others. We want to be able to demonstrate this knowledge to others so the glory of God is revealed. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.